our entire league, we're doing our part still. And I think it's going to show up a lot this season, especially on Martin Luther King Day.
I'm extremely committed to paying it forward, making change, making a difference. I think, you know, we all have a responsibility to leave the earth better than it was when we found it.
It's not just groceries for today, but we'll be providing groceries for you for a full calendar year.
We want to continue to, you know, listen to our communities, listen to our people, seeing ways we can help.
Once before in my life, I was a young black man in this world, you know, trying to find his way. To still have friends and family in that situation, you know, I'm their voice.
There's just a difference in education. There's just inequality in all fronts, you know, in this world, but education's a big piece.
I'm committed to seeing the advancement of my community and African Americans. But at the same time, I'm committed to all people. I'm committed to doing right by everybody and to see that everybody's treated fairly.
Something that, I mean, I've always done is just try to find ways to give back. For MLK, especially paying homage to him, is something that I'm looking forward to doing.
What a perfect tone setter for today. Now, the Timberwolves and Hawks tipped off a few minutes ago, special MLK Day game. The Hawks sporting their amazing uniforms, MLK themed, and we're going to take you behind the scenes of the Hawks' effort to pay homage to Martin Luther King later in this show, so stick around for that. Robert Ori, what did it mean to you to play on Martin Luther King Day?
For me, it was so special because when I first got into the NBA, it wasn't an official holiday. Mm-hmm. So now it is a holiday, and these teams get to recognize MLK Day and go out and present to the people what their message is. Mm-hmm. And for me, I remember the special MLK Day. I mean, it's kind of off the topic, but it was MLK Day in Memphis.
Yeah.
And we're playing, and all of a sudden, someone taps me on the shoulder, and it's Morgan Freeman.
Wow.
And I'm like, God, you know.
Okay.
Like, so he was just sitting here and talking to me about MLK Day. And I'm like a little kid in the candy store just sitting here watching him and appreciating this guy who's been through so much, who's been around. And he was basically a living legend. So that was a special moment because if we wouldn't have had MLK Day, I'd have never got a chance to meet him. And that moment would have never happened.
That's awesome. That's amazing. I mean, for me, I was the first time head coach, black head coach. Well, when I got the Memphis job, and you know, to go to the spot.
I'm gonna ask you about that in a minute. I wanna hear more about that.
But to play on that day, it's such an honor when you know and understand what others have gone through before you, to be able to get in the spot that you're in. Mm-hmm. And so that's what that day, I think, really means. And I really believe that the NBA is doing such a great job of really understanding what it means ultimately about being a servant, serving the community, a day of service. And so our guys understand that, and I think it's very powerful.
It is really remarkable. I love that evolution from when there was no MLK Day to now how we see things. Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols. I'm alongside, indeed, NBA coach, our head coach, David Fizdale, and seven-time NBA champion, Robert Ori. Coming up, guys.
Big shot.
Woo! Coming up, James Harden posting a triple-double in his Nets debut over the weekend. He said, it was easy out there. Must be nice. Robert's going to tell us why it may be just a little too soon to just crown flat out the Nets. Stick around for that. First, though, I do want to circle back to the legacy of civil rights icon Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., assassinated, of course, April 4th, 1968, outside of the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee. And, Coach, I do want to ask you more about this. While you were coach of the Grizzlies, you made a point of, with your team, touring the National Civil Rights Museum, which is right built around the Lorraine Motel.
Yeah.
What stood out to you the most when you were there?
Well, you know, first off, it just moves you immediately understanding the significance of what happened in that moment and understanding what it did to our country, what it did to the black community, what it did for black and white relations in our country. And you feel it, the gravity of it, as you pass through it. You know, in that moment there, well, they let us stand in the spot where he was killed. Mm. And for me, I think what broke me down was here I am, a black man. I'm the head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies. Mm-hmm. And I'm two generations removed from a sanitation worker from Mississippi. Mm. who went through Jim Crow, my grandfather. And that is who Dr. King was there fighting for,
yes,
was the sanitation workers. And for some reason, it overwhelmed me. It still overwhelms me now to think about just two generations later, what we've accomplished, where we are now. And so the best way we can honor him is to pay that forward and continuing to serve and trying to change the world.
Yeah, for me, that, even though I haven't had a chance to tour that, just watching you in that moment, it gets emotional, especially being a black man from the South, because you see all the trials and tribulations that black people have to go through and what we have to overcome. And it's just so heart-wrenching and so heartfelt that people around the world are really now trying to see what is going on in this country. And I know right now everybody wants this to be full force and to happen now, because that's the day and age we live in, but it's going to be baby steps. Just think about it. Mm-hmm. I just talked about not having MLK Day when I played. Now we have one.
Yep.
And you know, hopefully by the time our grandchildren and our children's children have this moment, it is equality. And it's just a moment, you know, we're going to have to be patient, but we're going to have to work towards it, you know.
Absolutely.
And we not just got to sit back and stay silent, because when you silence, things don't happen. So we still got to keep our voice and keep that message in front so we can move forward.
Absolutely.
And the celebration of Martin Luther King, of course, also a celebration of so many men and women who have made so much progress pushing this country forward in the battle for civil rights. Clearly still going on today. It's important to recognize just the breadth of the movement, that there were so many people who put their lives, their families on the line because they change had to come. And we have so much respect for all of them, and it's up to all of us to keep there, keep doing it. And we'll be talking about it throughout the show today. I do want to get to a little basketball, too, because earlier today, James Harden posting a thread of tweets, guys, thanking the city of Houston, thanking the Rockets organization, saying the city has given me everything I could ask for and more. He goes on to write he's forever indebted to the city and, quote, it's far from a goodbye as I pay all of my debts. As for Harden's future, we did get our first look at him as a member of the Nets alongside KD on Saturday. He had 32 points, 14 assists, 12 rebounds. Oh, by the way, KD dropped 42 after the game. James said, quote, it was easy out there. Harden responsible for 63 points against the Magic when you look into, right, between third most all-time for a debut in NBA history, behind his Rockets debut 2012, Kyrie's Nets debut last season. Kyrie, of course, sat out Saturday's game. And just reported by Woj, Kyrie is also going to miss tonight's game against the Bucks on TNT as he works his way back into playing shape after missing what will now be 7 games due to personal reasons. Robert, James said it was easy. How easy do you expect it to be for the Nets moving forward?
This is one of these projects that you have to wait and see, because when you come to a team for the first time, you're excited.
Yeah.
So you have all this energy, you have all this emotion, mm-hmm. and you want to see how this is going to work out in 10 more games. Mm-hmm. Will you have that same energy and that same emotion, and will your teammates feel the same about you? Because we know James has a tendency to hold a ball and dribble, but when he's doing that and you're losing, how are your teammates going to react? Because right now, this is the honeymoon.
Everyone's happy.
Yeah, everyone's happy. And we want to see how this wedding, this match can be, you know, 20 games in, 10 games in, because that's when the true team is going to emerge. Because right now, like I said, this is the honeymoon. Everybody's happy during the honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we're not going to see this team lose too much. It's just too much talent. There's too much shooting on the floor. I think you're going to see this team play very well, very fast. And you can see the transition was pretty seamless. Why is that? Mike D'Antoni, maybe?
Yes.
But see, look at this. James Harden making plays off the pick and roll. KD's such a big target. He can hit him out there, get him easy shots. These are cake shots for KD. He don't even have to work for these right here, because James Harden draws so much attention. But this is the play. James Harden recognizes immediately that KD has the mismatch. KG swings it to Brown, who is the other. Mm-hmm. And if they keep making plays like this, that's when they're going to be dangerous. When they don't care who the next guy is and they trust that next guy, they trust the pass, with that much talent, it's going to be very hard to deal with them.
And by the way, that could be Kyrie in the corner next time, eventually, right? I mean, that's the idea.
Right.
So
right.
swing to Kyrie. So you've got a little bit of
Or just
that.
Switch them all around.
Right.
I mean, it's just going to be like whoever has the matchup, that guy's going to have the ball and he's going to create. And as long as he keeps trusting his guys, good things are going to happen for this team.
Yeah, and we see teams that cruise through a regular season, and then at the playoffs, it gets harder. What do you think they...
He knows.
I'm being diplomatic. It's a holiday. What do you think, Robert, what is sort of the thing that they have to work on throughout the regular season? Because Fizz is right. There's going to be a lot of nights. It's just kind of easy and one ball out there. And so what do they need to work on and sharpen so when they get to those tougher tests in the playoffs, they can be up for them?
You know, it's going to boil down to teamwork. Yeah. You know, and it sounds simple, but it is because Kyrie is a ball handler. And how he's going to react with James handling the ball. And I think KD is the one who's going to sit back because I think he can realize, hey, I don't have to use that much energy handling the rock. I can come off screens and shoot the ball, but... We always talk about the offensive end, but we also have to know they got to play defense, and they lost their three best defensive players. So it's really going to be interesting how they can mix that all together on both ends.
Yeah, absolutely. Because these guys are all capable of playing good team defense. KD, especially. Kyrie has done it. James has even done it. I know his reputation, but he's done it if he wants
I live in Houston.
He just... hasn't bought into it that often. Yeah, I'm deferring to the guy with the seven rings. I want to get to Caris LeVert. Moved from the Nets, of course, to the Pacers as part of that four-team trade. But news over the weekend, he is out indefinitely after an MRI revealed a small mass on his left kidney during a physical prior to finalizing the trade. Now, the Pacers talked about the fact that they discussed, should we void the deal, right? And Robert Ory, you told the story on Friday's show about you were part of a trade for Sean Elliott when a physical revealed part of his kidney problem and that deal was voided. The Pacers decided, though, they did want to stick with the trade. Brooklyn sent an additional $2.6 million to Indy to ensure that the deal held up, so I'm sure that helps too. LeVert will undergo further medical tests. Of course, the entire NBA community hopes to see Caris back out on the court as soon as possible. And it is a good sign, not to get into his private medical business, but the fact that the Pacers decided after seeing his records and seeing the MRI, we don't consider this such a long-term problem. We want to keep him.
Yeah.
That's just good to sort of know as we all think and wish the best for him that hopefully it's not a super significant life-altering type of thing and he can get treatment, get back on the court as soon as possible. Another team in that deal, the Cavaliers, we learned that they intend to trade or waive 2019 first-round pick Kevin Porter Jr. during an outburst he had Friday after finding out his locker was given to Taurean Prince, who was acquired in that deal. Porter's locker had been moved to a different side. Now, Porter hadn't played this season for unspecified personnel reasons. And we, of course, know that he had a legal incident, that they were trying to get him some help. According to reporting, this was first reported by The Athletic, confirmed by ESPN, that Porter reportedly got into a screaming match with Cavs brass and threw some food in the locker room. Remember J.R. Smith threw the bowl of chicken tortilla soup years ago? I don't know what it is about food in the Cavaliers locker room, but there you go. After that altercation, Porter was told to clean out his locker. Other members of the roster were informed he would no longer be on the team. As mentioned, The Athletic first reported this incident. Coach Fizz, what is your reaction to this?
It's sad, you know, because obviously you're starting to see continuous incidents happen. And you hate to see that kind of spiral start to take place with a kid. And, you know, I know as a black coach, I've been, you said that term a lot this show already, but as a black coach, knowing what some of these kids go through to get to where they are. And a lot of people don't understand it, but a lot of these kids, and I'm not excusing him for his behavior, but a lot of these kids suffer trauma. When you grow up in a neighborhood where gunshots is ringing out all the time, or you the potential for you to get robbed is there all the time, or the police is you know basically occupying your neighborhood, there's trauma that comes with that. And I can tell you from the standpoint of my own personal trauma, because I lived in a neighborhood like that, and I know where this kid is from. And so it's unfortunate to see him in these circumstances. You hope that people around him can help him and galvanize him and get his career and his life back on the right track to where, because he's super talented. NBA player is not the question. Is can he
first
get it's can he get all of the other stuff taken care of? And you know, I know JB and them try to do everything they can for the kid. Hopefully it works out for him.
You know, when these kids come out of college and they have these issues, people sometimes think, oh, he has money, he's in the NBA, he has this status, that these problems might not go away. And this is not always the case. And I think these teams, they don't think like this. They think, for me, I think every team should have a former player or a player that's looked up to on their team. In a, I would recommend, you know, director of player personnel, something like that, where these guys can go to in confidence. I'm not saying a therapist or anything like that, but someone they can go to in confidence, say, yo, I have this issue, I have this problem. So they can talk to someone, so they can have a big brother or a father figure they can talk to, because these guys sometimes need an outlet. Yeah. And you have outlets on the court like that when you burst out because you can't go to someone and yell and scream at them and curse them out. I even tell my kids, some days, if you want to be a friend, you need to let some things out. Do it, because once you get it off your chest, you're going to feel better, then we can solve the problem.
Right. And teams do have those resources now, more so than when back in the day. But it's also up to the player sometimes to take advantage of them. And as you point out, guys can be a little closed off about that stuff because they've dealt with so much.
Trust issues. Like some of these guys are really, they don't trust anybody to tell anybody anything. And what he's talking about is really important. I really spent a lot of time with the Knicks, bringing back all of the former Knicks, trying to get them talking to the guys, engaging with them about their experiences, their ups, their downs, the pitfalls of the game, things that can happen at home, things that can happen with family. And so that is a critical part of our job for these young guys. And hopefully, again, can we get him back and get him on track to be a good professional and live a good life?
Well, we will keep watching that one. All right, coming up, Zion Williamson played a little bully ball against the Kings on Sunday. Ugh. Is this the version of Zion we've been waiting for? Stick around to find out.
Dr. King, you know, is the first name you think of when you think of the city of Atlanta.
It's hard to describe it, but you definitely understand, I mean, what he's done for Atlanta and just, I mean, Georgia alone. Just that in itself, you understand the history and you understand what he's done for this state and for this city.
He stood for equality. He stood for openness in every aspect. Being that Atlanta is such a heavily African-American populated city, and I feel like his legacy truly resonates with the people here.
You know, when you talk about City Edition, there's nothing better that we can do to represent the city of Atlanta than rolling out some jerseys that represent Dr. King and the legacy of Dr. King.
Every year, the NBA honors the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. This year, the Atlanta Hawks will honor the civil rights icon with commemorative jerseys with the letters MLK beginning on MLK Day, January 18.
The very first idea that I had was, you know, it would be amazing if we could honor Dr. King's legacy in an elevated way with the uniform, not just on King Day, but throughout an entire season.
The black and gold represents Dr. King and his fraternity. The stars on the jersey represent the many times that Dr. King was arrested fighting during the civil rights movement.
Well, I feel like for me, it just gives me a little bit of an edge, a little bit more of a chip to play harder and prove to the city of Atlanta that we earned these letters as we've been pushing so hard to tell our fans.
To have a Atlanta Hawks MLK black and gold jersey, and I think when you really understand some of the details, people are going to be excited to have that jersey on and come to Atlanta Hawks game. It's Atlanta, it's MLK, it's NBA. There's nothing that's going to be able to top that.
The Hawks have also brought Dr. King pride to their hardwood floor, continuing the theme from the jerseys and adding a mosaic pattern reminiscent of a stained glass motif in a church.
2021, we went in strong because we all had a similar dream in the sense of, you know, collaborating with one of our, you know, most favorite sons of Atlanta.
The Hawks have committed to donating profits from the MLK Nike City Edition jersey sales to help promote economic empowerment in the black community, ensuring that these jerseys have a greater impact well beyond the arena.
It's almost transcends a person, but it's really the actions that you would take towards equality and just respecting everyone in the ways in which they should be respected.
This year, even honoring them even more, I think it's going to be even more special to the city and to our team.
Fantastic work from Mark Spears. And the end of his story is that the Vatican, which hosted several NBA players in the offseason to discuss their push for civil rights, actually called the Hawks and asked if they could send their MLK jerseys to Rome. And on Friday, the Pope blessed them.
Wow. That's awesome.
To honor their shared commitment to making positive change in social equality, economic empowerment, and love. We have a Pope now who puts out statements that quote love. I am all for it. And we now welcome in the man who has covered all of this so beautifully, Mark Spears from The Undefeated. Mark, I love that feature we just watched. Thank you for joining us today. And look, I want to talk to you because no one has covered this better and more thoroughly than you. How has this past year of civil unrest in this country changed the NBA?
Well, I think what we learned from the players is there's strength in numbers. You know, Rachel, you were with me in the bubble and seeing those social justice jerseys and Black Lives Matter on the court, seeing the three-day revolution in which the players decided not to play. And that allowed most of the NBA arenas to be turned into polling stations that I think definitely had an impact on the election, certainly in Georgia. I mean, they certainly show that they have strength, and I hope the players don't forget to use that strength, whether it is forgetting more GMs or more coaches. And then also, you know, now we're seeing with the Memphis Grizzlies, I think in terms of honoring MLK, no one has done it better for them. They've had a symposium and a celebration for 19 years now that I've been blessed to be a part of. I got to interview Jaren Jackson this time around, and he's been really, really big on voting, and I expect him to be in the future. Also, during this time, during those visits, had a chance to go to the National Civil Rights Museum, which if you haven't been, it's certainly
it's
in a
amazing.
Very impactful place. And the one thing that stood out to me of all the things that have stood out to me is towards the entrance, you see from global impact slavery had from 1619 to 1861 and a depiction of what it was like for Africans to be basically squeezed to the bottom of these slave ships and brought to the Americas.
You know, the thing about when we watch these athletes and we watch this day, we have to remember it's not just today. Mm-hmm. It's every day in the Black community for these people to see what's going on and to recognize the injustice and to try to even the playing field, so to say. And I love the fact that these players now have the platform to speak their mind, to say what they want to say, because when we played, we wanted to say stuff, but we were a little too afraid to say something because you could get blackballed and you could not play, and you wanted to provide for your family so hey, have a better future. But now these guys, they're stepping up and saying, we don't care. We're going to use our platform because now you see it. There's a magnifying glass on us. So now when you say something bad, they're going to see it. We say something good, they're going to see it. So when I say that, it means the people of the world because of social media. And it's such a great feeling for me to watch each and every guy in the NBA step up and try to have a voice and try to say, hey, yeah, this is wrong, this is right. And just to try to bring this world together, because right now we have a lot of issues with social justice, the COVID-19. So I'm just, today is a proud day for me to see these people step up. And I got to say this, Atlanta, send me one of those jerseys. I love them, man.
Oh,
send me a jersey.
Nice.
There is no doubt. And look, things have changed, Robert, since you were playing the league. First of all, the salaries endorsement money has gone up. So if you do get, quote, blackballed by one sponsor or one team that is not enlightened, you have other ways to take care of your family. But also, as Mark pointed out, strength in numbers, man. You had some of the biggest stars in the NBA when Dwayne Wade, Chris Paul, LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony stood up on that ESPY stage and said, we challenge all athletes out there. This is a priority to stand up for the people who are not being spoken for.
Right.
And I think that really unleashed an incredible sense of ownership from these young NBA players. We have an incredible crop of under 25 players in the NBA who do for their communities before they even do for themselves. Yep. And really, again, you have some of the elite players in the league taking a lead in it. In fact, Steven Jackson just let the cat out of the bag that Kyrie Irving has bought a house for the family of George Floyd.
Big time.
Floyd and Steven, of course, close friends growing up together in South Texas. Fizz, we've seen Kyrie be a leader. There's a lot going on with Kyrie Irving right now, but it should not escape anyone's attention. He has been a leader in this fight for social justice. And we've seen several other players step up. If you were advising some of the young players in the league, what do you think comes next for them? What can they do with this power that they now know they have?
Well, I think you just got to continue to utilize your platform to elevate the community's issues, right? And really start thinking about law changing, right? And start getting into what is the root of the problem. And the bottom line is, what everybody's asking for is, can we get to a basic set of laws that everyone can live by so that no one's dying unnecessarily? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think that's a big ask when you really think about it. And I think the players just have to continue to keep that pressure on with the connection to the community and pushing that forward and bringing, using their platform to do it. You know, I was in that situation in Memphis when it wasn't popular and we were trying to get down statues of Nathan Bedford Forrest and Jefferson Davis. Mm-hmm. And I was feeling like Robert said, should I do this?
Right.
Right.
It was your first head coaching job.
First head coaching job. I'm a young black coach. Mm-hmm. Will I suffer for this? Cap was just starting to kneel and stuff like that. And I had to do it because this is the home of Dr. King. And now you're starting to see corporate is getting behind these young people. And that's what's really pushing it over the hump, is that the corporate world is supporting our basketball guys and really starting to put pressure on all of these folks. Look at what happened with the Redskins.
Yep.
Right? That was a corporate push.
Absolutely.
To change that name. And now what you're seeing is players are starting to recognize we got a lot of power here and they're using it the right way and they got to keep that pressure going.
Mark, what do you think is next for NBA players?
Well, I hope they keep the education going. To Fizz for what he did in Memphis and what he did in New York from a justice standpoint. But, you know, I remember talking to a young star player, I'll just say that, last year, and asked him about Martin Luther King. And he said, you know, he really did a lot of good things. that he was an important American. And it crushed me to hear a young black man say that. So I think there needs to, I don't depend on the schools, there needs to be more education at home. I mean, all he learned about was MLK and Rosa Parks and Malcolm X when he was in school. But I implore the players and all parents to show their kids eyes on the prize, like my mom let me see in the San Francisco American Center, and see the movie Selma and read up on Martin Luther King and other civil rights leaders, because there's just so much to learn that I don't think we should depend on the schools to teach.
Education reform, you hear Donovan Mitchell talking about it all the time. All right, Mark, you're going to stick with us. Coming up, we're going to look at the head to the nightcap of TNT's MLK Day triple header between the Lakers and Warriors. Is James Wiseman already living up to the expectations for him in the Bay? Stick around to find out. We will discuss. Before our next segment, here's rookie James Wiseman.
Hey, what's up? This is James Wiseman. I am the rookie from Golden State Warriors. This is my diary, the undefeated.
James is going to be our starting center before too long. Clearly, he is our long-term starting center.
It feels good for Steve Kerr to introduce me as the starting center soon, because it just shows how all the hard work I put in, in a little time, how I've been adapting and just really fast. I love expectations. I love when people put pressure on me and stuff. I mean, I love studying film on those great players, but I just want to become the next James Wiseman, come on, image.
Welcome back to The Jump. I am joined by David Fizdale, Robert Horry, and Mark Spears. And that was a clip from James Wiseman's video diary with Mark and the Undefeated. So, Mark, do you think Wiseman is living up to expectations so far for the Warriors?
Oh, most definitely. And certainly these expectations are very, very high. Mm. You know, I interviewed him 2 years ago. He's the most impressive high school kid I've ever talked to. He speaks Mandarin. He wants to be an anthropist. He wants to own fast food restaurants. And he has game. I saw it at the Hoop Summit practices that he was special. Before the draft, there was one scout told me that he was going to be a combination of David Robinson and Chris Bosh. For high praise, which is going to probably be a Hall of Famer. And so far, so good. He seems to be getting better with every game. Draymond Green is in his ear, and he's listening. And he's an interesting wraps, and he's got his F-150 coming to San Francisco soon to drive around instead of a Ferrari.
He can't fit in a Ferrari. You know, think about when you talk about Wiseman, everybody always want to talk about expectations. Mm-hmm. You know, what is the team's expectation? What is Kerr's expectation?
Well,
because
great point.
He needs to go out in there and just play his game. He's playing with three dynamic players, right, who've got rings, right, who got all-star appearances. So he just needs to sit back and learn. I love the fact that he's going out still doing his thing, because one of my favorite things is Vernon Maxwell, you always used to tell me in my ear, do what you do. Do what got you here. And that's what he's doing. He's just going out and playing his game, not trying to be this guy, that guy, just being himself and doing what comes natural. And he's always, like they show here with Draymond, he's always going to Draymond, because why? Draymond's a defensive player. He knows the game, and he's one of the best at getting people involved. So Wise was learning from the best.
Yeah. These kids grow fast when they're surrounded with a bunch of talent. Like, no pressure is on him at all. And I think I was on the show probably 3 weeks ago, and we were talking about when Klay went down at the Warriors was done. A lot of people were writing him off. And a big reason why the Warriors are in the playoff conversation is because this kid right here. And this kid's going to keep moving faster and faster. He's bringing the ball up. He's crossing over guards. He's finishing with either hand. I watched one game. He's shooting threes. Yeah. He is dynamic. You add that to the mix of what Golden State does and the championship pedigree. Like you said, Draymond, defensive player of the year. Steph, MVP, he's learning from the best.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Mark, thank you so much for joining us today. We will see you again soon. Everyone else, stick with us, because coming up, we're going to talk about the Clippers. Their improved chemistry was on display last night, and they talked about it after the win. But is that chemistry here to stay? The panel will weigh in next. All right, guys, Magic and Knicks kicking off the MLK Day NBA slate from Madison Square Garden earlier today. Fourth quarter, Knicks up 3. Aaron Gordon nailing the 3. Magic tying the game for the first time after being down by as many as 15. Under 2 minutes left, Magic down 2 here. Off the jump ball, shot clock running down. Terrence Ross heaves a shot and hits it. Magic taking the first lead of the game, 81-80. Game tied at 81. Julius Randle spinning, laying it in. Knicks up 2. Look at this. Gordon, though, just throws it away. RJ Barrett taking it all the way for the layup.
That's my man
Knicks
right
up
there.
4, and the Knicks win 91-84. Nice to see your old student.
Way to get after them, guys. Good defense.
I want to get to the Clippers, everyone. The Clippers blew out the Pacers last night by 33 points. It was a balanced attack. 7 Clippers scored in double figures. Here's Marcus Morris and Paul George on the team's improved chemistry this year. Take a listen. This was really interesting.
I feel like our energy is way better this season. I think guys are buying in. Guys are, you know, enjoying playing the game. And obviously, there's been a lot of talk about PG and, you know, how he's feeling going into the season. And like I said last game, man, I'm excited to see how far he can take it.
But it's a real bond, man. It's fun. You know, but this team is locked in. We're together. It's one of the best locker rooms I've been around and been in. You know, it's just you. Hopefully, you guys see it. Just how well we're meshing, and we're gonna continue to build off that. You know, we like where we're at and like where we're headed, and we want to see this thing play all the way through.
So, Robert, Marcus Morris also said last night, he said, we got in a room at the beginning of the season and we just got it all out and put it behind us. Do you buy that the chemistry is as good as it looked last night and that these issues are behind them?
I'm still waiting on that one. You know, I'm still waiting on that, because it's always easy to say that and throw it out there in the universe and hope that it happens.
Right.
And everything is always good when there's no adversity. When some adversity smacks you in the face, how are you going to react? And we can have this. We're going to have this conversation after every 30-point win.
Right.
And guys are saying this because they're trying to make themselves believe this. And I think with Ty Lue there, and he's going to emphasize that a lot, and with PG starting to emphasize it and say, hey, I got to make up for what I did in the playoffs. And with Kawhi buying in and saying, oh, I'm going to play back-to-backs. I'm going to be here for you guys.
It means
a lot. People don't understand when you the 8th, 9th, 10th man, people say, oh, you need to go practice. No, right.
we all need to practice
so we can get this rapport and play together as a team. And I think with these guys starting to do that, they're buying in, and maybe this can carry over and we can have a good playoff series from those two guys.
Yeah, it's a small sample size, obviously. And you want to drop kick the 50-pointer out the window, obviously. Yeah. So you kick that one out.
Yep.
Overall, they're playing fantastic basketball. You got to admit that.
And 10-4.
Yeah, at the end of the day, that's what I'm looking at is how well are they winning and are they winning? And they're doing both. And so I think T. Lou's doing a heck of a job of getting guys to buy into the role. I think all of the noise about Paul George early on brought all those guys together. Yeah, it happens that way. It's the same when we got LeBron in Miami. You remember the ridicule he got? I mean, and so, but what it did for us is everybody in the locker room surrounded them, put their hands on them. And so I think that's what's happening with the Clippers right now.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, and let me tell you, Mook Morris, when he gets you to circle up in the locker room, it's real. Yep. There ain't going to be no BS.
Yep.
And you're going to hash it out. And once you walk out of that locker room, that's where it stays. And so I do think they're on the right track of getting it together. And the big test will be when they get squeezed in the playoffs.
It'll be interesting to see. But they are building. They look great last night. All right, guys, before we go, Bucks safety Mike Edwards had a game-sealing interception that helped send his team to the NFC East Championship last night. Had that nice sideline pick off the tip pass. Can we take a second to appreciate the Jays Jordan ones he did this in. Look at that.
You know, it's every jealous of these guys. Every one of these guys are wearing the MJs and playing football. I'm so jealous because when I go play softball when we used to get together, I need some of those.
Yeah, that's old man gear right
there. Exactly. Nike send those to Robert and the Hawks.
Hey, I'm a Nike guy.
Jersey.
Send them to me.
I can't move quick in those. Those are perfect.
Those are good. All right, quick news before we go. Blazers coach Terry Stotts said that C.J. McCollum will be reevaluated in 1 week. He's out for at least a week on that sprained left foot. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. Martin Luther King Day. Let's take a deep breath.